Good morning. Good morning to you all. Good to see you today. You want to get your outline out of your program so you can follow along with us today. Just a couple of weeks ago, we witnessed the biggest sporting event of the year, the Super Bowl. But if you're into stock car racing, the real Super Bowl happens today, right? With the Daytona 500 at Daytona International Speedway in Daytona, Florida. How many stock car racing fans are going to be watching that today? Yes. It's a grueling race requiring an exceptional vehicle, incredible skill, and endurance on the part of the driver. It's a 500-mile-long race, hence the name 500. Some call it the Great American Race. Others call it the Super Bowl of stock car racing. It's considered very prestigious and a tremendous achievement to win the Daytona 500. And today, February 16th, is the big day. But before you run home and watch it, doesn't start till I think 2:30, I want to tell you about an even bigger, more important race. Even if you're a NASCAR driver, the course is set out by the Lord Himself. And if you're a Jesus follower, this is your big race. This is your Daytona. This is the race He's called you to run in. Today is part two in our series called Don't Give Up. It's a series aimed at building endurance for Jesus followers and helping those who are discouraged to get motivated. The series is based on the book of Hebrews in the New Testament. And the book of Hebrews was written to a church of Jesus followers, Jewish Jesus followers, who were experiencing buyer's remorse with Jesus and Christianity. They had faced persecution due to their allegiance to Jesus, likely from their non-Christian Jewish families and friends. They had been exposed publicly to ridicule and insults. Their property had been confiscated. Some were imprisoned, and yet they endured it all like champions. But now, in the aftermath of all of that, some are beginning to have second thoughts about following Jesus. Is it worth it all? We miss our families and our old friends and our old ways. We miss them. All of this stuff that we have lost is because of Him. Just because of Him. Maybe we should go back to the old ways. Last Sunday, we learned about the cloud of witnesses that surrounds us, that testifies to us, to hang in there, to persevere with Jesus. Today, we move out of the courtroom into the racing arena, where following Jesus, staying true to Him through the ups and downs, the discouragements, the disappointments, and the setbacks of life is compared, like the Daytona 500, to a long, strenuous, grueling, yet glorious, and extremely rewarding race. Ever feel like quitting? Like hanging up your cleats and just saying, hey, I've had it for a while. Maybe you're tired of serving the Lord. Maybe you're struggling with doubts. Maybe you're wrestling or impatient with God. Or maybe you just feel tired serving the Lord and wonder if maybe you should just opt out for a while anyway. Take a break. If this is you, how do you stay in the race? Or how might you help someone else who's discouraged? Today's message is entitled The Discipleship 500. We're going to learn about this big race. In this series, we're focusing on the words, the beginning words of Hebrews chapter 12. Let's look at those words once again and follow along with me on the screen here. And we come to the yellow print. That's your cue to read along with me out loud. The writer says, "Therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, help me, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles, and let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us." If you're taking notes on your outline, underline that word perseverance. Now help me. Verse 2, "Fixing our eyes on Jesus, the pioneer and perfecter of faith, for the joy set before him, he endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Consider him who endured such opposition from sinners, so that you will not grow weary and lose heart." Well, that's our text for this series and this morning. Sometimes Scripture speaks to us when we're discouraged with gentleness, like a therapist, calmly, gently. Other times it barks at us, like a coach at halftime. Today, it's the coach talking to us. Just to give you a heads up there. It's all wrapped up in our main idea. The one thing you want to remember if you forget everything else, it goes like this. The marathon of discipleship calls for strict discipline. We're learning about that strict discipline today. We're learning about running the race with perseverance. There are three essentials for running the race that we have listed here on your outline. The first one is lose the weight. Lose the weight! Give us a week and we'll take off the weight. Nope, this is not an ad for SlimFast or Nutrisystem. No Marie Osmond up here today, it's just me. And the writer of Hebrews is giving us an image of a race, and this is what's behind this injunction where he says, and I like the way the New Living Translation renders Hebrews 12:1, where it says, "Let us strip off every weight that slows us down, especially the sin that so easily trips us up." You know, back in the day when the book of Hebrews was written, the original readers were as well acquainted with an athletic race as many of us are with watching sports on TV. When the writer said, "Strip off every weight that slows us down," immediately those readers would think of the Olympic Games, the ancient Olympic Games, or the Isthmian Games in Greece. The runners would lose every ounce of excess fat through very strict diet and workout, as athletes do today. The difference was, back in those days, when a game day came and you were going to run the race, you stripped off all your clothes, all of them. You ran in the buff. That's the way the Greeks did it. And we haven't come to that point yet. I hope we don't in our Olympic Games. But that was the idea. They wanted to get rid of anything, every last stitch that could weigh them down. A few months ago, Debbie and I went to see at the theater the new film, Ford versus Ferrari. Any of you seen that movie? Several of you have. It's the famous true story of when Henry Ford II successfully challenged the supposedly unbeatable Ferrari racing team in 1966 24-hour Le Mans race in France. Now there's a race. And the Ford team won. They were driving Tom Phipps' GT, right? It's fascinating how hard they worked and the ingenious methods that they employed to get that GT40 to run as fast as it could go. They kept asking, what else can we strip off? How can we reduce the wind resistance? What unnecessary weight can we get rid of? Jesus follower, I don't care if you're an Olympic athlete with a real shot at the gold medal. I don't care if you're a NASCAR driver and you have a realistic shot at winning the Daytona 500. This race that we're talking about here in Hebrews 12:1 is your biggest and most important ever. To win, you need to lose the weight. What's the weight for you? It may not be a bad thing in itself. It may be just an okay thing that keeps you from the best thing, like watching too much Netflix or playing video games too much, when you need to just shut that stuff off and get in to the Word of God. Maybe it's staying up too late on Saturday night so that you're too zonked to come out on Sunday morning. Or if you do come out, you're just not at your best to worship the Lord with an alert mind, to get into the Word of God. The weight that holds me back so often is my striving for perfection. It might be hard to believe, but I just have this driving sense within me that whatever I do, maybe it's a sermon or a teaching or something that I'm writing, it's got to be perfect. This little voice telling me this inside. And it's a standard that I can never reach, and I torture myself when I feel like I haven't measured up, or I blew it, or I've got this mistake or that. I keep replaying it in my head. And you say, Randy, you need to raise your self-esteem. No, at the heart of it is my pride. That's really where it stems from. I am learning to lose that weight by embracing my weaknesses. Paul said, when I am weak, then he is strong. And it has been, it is extremely hard and humbling for me. But losing that weight has been incredibly liberating. I have more joy than ever because of it. In the next line, the coach really gets in our face. He says, lose especially the sin that so easily trips us up. The sin that so easily trips you up. Is there a particular sin in your life that you're stumbling over regularly? It trips you up and you end up flat on your face. Oh, the Lord has mercy when you cry out to Him. Maybe it's that temper of yours, or the jealousy that consumes you over your neighbor's nicer house, or the pride that you have over your nice house. Or maybe it's your ambition to get ahead in your career, no matter how much it costs your family and your church commitment. Maybe it's getting buzzed every day with alcohol or weed or overeating. or gambling, or internet pornography. Or maybe you're wrapped up in an affair. It might be a physical affair, or maybe it's an emotional affair. But you and I both know that God calls it sin. The world may call it harmless entertainment or a habit or an addiction, but God calls it sin, and you need to lose the weight. Sometimes, not always, but sometimes our discouragement and fatigue and depression and desire to quit is all of our own making. We just refuse to lose the weight. This is the biggest race you'll ever win or run in. What needs to go? How can you make yourself a little faster, lighter, quicker, more aerodynamic? What will get you that extra mile per hour? If it means cutting something loose, are you willing to lose it? The writer calls it the sin that so easily entangles. If you're tangled up, you'll need help getting untangled. It begins with repentance, but you'll also need some accountability. You'll also need people around you to help you. Maybe counseling is what you need, Christian counseling, or Celebrate Recovery, which we have here on Thursday nights, or a one-on-one mentoring relationship. These resources are available to you here at Stony Creek Church. Speak with me, or with one of the staff, or someone else who knows where to find help here at Stony. Do whatever it takes. Do whatever it takes. The second essential for running the race, number two on your outline, is build endurance. Build endurance. The race that the writer of Hebrews is talking about here is not a sprint. It's a marathon. Notice again what he says. Let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us. That's not a sprint. That's a marathon. The word perseverance here is strong language, but first, I want you to notice that he uses the first person plural pronoun here. Let us run the race with perseverance. The writer's not just a coach, he's also a runner himself. He's one of us running. Christianity is a team sport. This is not just you out there running on a track. This is something we're all in together. We run as a team. But let's look at that word perseverance. It's the Greek word hupomone. And in Greek, this word is defined as independent, unyielding, defiant perseverance in the face of aggressive misfortune, and thus a kind of courageousness, according to the Exegetical Dictionary of the New Testament, volume 3, page 405. Look at that definition. You run the discipleship marathon with hupomone. It's aggressive. You are not on defense. You are on offense. You get in its face when it tries to get in yours, the opposition. Here's a picture of me with Andrew Chase. Recently joined the U.S. Marines. We had him stand up here a few weeks ago. Andrew and I Facebook message each other back and forth. His training is amazing. He had to scale a 5-story wall with a heavy backpack on his back, with his rifle not strapped to him, but in his hand. 5-story wall. And it's all for the noble, highly noble cause of protecting our freedom. Now that's hupomane. It's to be applauded. How much more so for the noblest cause of all, following the Lord Jesus. We're all called to be Marines. Now, how do you build endurance? How do we do it for this discipleship marathon? Well, let me give you here on your outline the ABCs for endurance as outlined in this text. The first is proper diet. And this means a daily meal of God's Word. Daily meal, and the elimination of junk food, by the way, and that would be unwholesome entertainment, gossip, wasting time. You not only have to eat right, but you have to get rid of the bad stuff you're eating. Now, imagine an anorexic person trying to run a marathon. Be very, very difficult, if not impossible. Too many Christians are spiritual anorexics. Imagine if you only fed your body once a week or so. Imagine trying to run on just one meal a week. You can't feed your soul only once a week on Sunday morning and be healthy enough to win this marathon. You're going to feel pooped out. You're going to feel constant spiritual fatigue, cramps in your soul, dizziness in your spirit, lightheaded when you face temptation, intimidation when you try to witness. Where do you start building endurance? Well, I would say commit yourself to daily time in God's Word, daily meal, a Bible reading program. You've heard me say before, recommend before, the YouVersion Bible app. This way you can take the Bible with you everywhere you go. You can listen to it. It'll read you the Scripture. If you get one of the translations that has an audio version, and several of them do. And then there are plans, Bible reading plans, included there on the YouVersion. This is just one great resource available to you. How do you build endurance? A, proper diet. B, a demanding workout. As Americans, we're all about convenience, aren't we? The fastest way, the easiest way to do something. And that's great when it comes to shopping online rather than going to the mall, or picking up groceries in the store parking lot with the new services they have at many of the stores rather than going through the whole store and taking all that time, or a pharmacy drive-through window, stuff like that. It's great, but if you're trying to build endurance, there are no shortcuts. Did you hear me? There are no shortcuts. You've got to do the hard things. The Greek word translated race here is agon. Agon. It's from the word group from which we get our English word agony. The idea is a stiff, arduous competition requiring self-denial. It's hard work. Let me ask you a question. In what ways are you challenging and stretching yourself to improve spiritually? Take stock here. What are you doing to stretch yourself, to challenge yourself? Now, of course, you have to pace yourself. It's like when you start lifting weights. You don't go to the heaviest first. No, you start with the lighter weights, and you keep working your way up. Else you'll hurt yourself, get discouraged. But it's important to keep adding, isn't it? adding to the weight, challenging yourself to do more, to push a little further, to run a little faster and longer. Flabby followers poop out. You can take that to the bank. Flabby followers poop out. You know, I exercise my body 5 times a week. That's a regimen that I'm in. And sometimes I have to force myself to do it because I don't feel like doing it, but I do it. But every day, not just 5 days a week, every day I push myself spiritually. Every day I push myself, for example, to do at least one task with a good attitude that humbles me and comes unnatural to me. Like helping with something I don't like doing, but I know I should do it. Got to do it with a good attitude. Or prompting a Jesus encounter with a stranger, even when it feels kind of awkward. I have to keep telling myself, Randy, don't look for the easy way. Look for the best way and do it. Did you know that the best things in life are the hard things? They are. When I give myself to doing these things, the hard things, you know what? I have a good day, even if it's a tough day. Tough days are sometimes the best days. You know why? Because you gave yourself a good workout. It was hard. You trained yourself. You pushed yourself to the limit. That's good. How about you? Is your ministry here at Stony Creek Church challenging you? Is it pushing you? Or is it too easy? Do you need to step up your game? Have you joined a ministry? Or are you just attending? I'm glad you're here. But push yourself, challenge yourself, get involved in a ministry. Join the church. Maybe you've taken the class but haven't filled out the membership application. Do that. Take that next step. Challenge yourself. Get plugged in. You know, we need help in several areas here. The church is growing. We need to expand its workforce. And there are many areas that need help. You can find out what those are. Put it on your connection card or talk with one of us and we can help you. How do you build endurance? Well, point C is restorative rest. Rest. To build endurance, you need to get rest that will build up your muscles and restore what you lost when you were out there on the track. Spiritually, this is your quiet time with Jesus, your Sabbath time of getting alone with God, to ponder His Word, to listen for His voice, to talk to Him earnestly and also casually. Pour out your heart to Him. In the middle of Jesus' insanely busy ministry, when He was getting mobbed by crowds like a rock star, everybody wanting to touch Him and get healed, He was also being hassled by His enemies. Luke tells us, right in the midst of all that, Luke chapter 5, verse 16, great verse. But Jesus often withdrew to lonely places and prayed. Notice, key words here. Often withdrew, lonely places, prayed. I love that verse. It is an inspiration to me. If he needed it, how much more do I? You want to destroy Randy Rehm? I'll tell you how you can do it. You don't like me? You hate me? You want to get rid of me? Here's how. take this out of my life. I'll dry up in no time. It'll be like a weed squirted with Roundup. With me, it's not a matter of finding time. No. It's like, you know, going to the bathroom or eating or drinking. You make the time. You don't say, well, I didn't have time today to go to the bathroom. You do it, right? Doesn't matter how busy you are. Get with the Lord. Take a walk with the Lord. Sit in your favorite chair with a cup of coffee with the Lord. Talk with him. Pace the floor. Stand on your head if you have to. But do whatever you have to do. But do it and build your endurance. Let's look at the third essential for running the race. Number three on your outline is stay focused. Now, if you leave this one out, all bets are off. You can do everything in points one and two and still fail miserably. Just working hard, no matter how determined you are, committed, and disciplined you are, it will amount to a lifeless corpse without staying focused on the prize. It's not a literal finish line or trophy or gold medal, something of that sort. No. Something far superior. The author is quite clear here. He tells us in verse 2, fixing our eyes on Jesus, the pioneer and perfecter of our faith. We're going to talk more about this next week, but we're going to start this week. Here's a picture of Florence Chadwick. Maybe you've heard of her. In 1952, she attempted to swim from the California mainland to Catalina Island. It's a distance of about 22 miles. I don't know if I could swim 22 feet. 22 miles, for crying out loud. After 15 hours of swimming, a dense fog rolled in that prevented her from seeing the land where she was swimming to. And so she called it quits. And after the swim, she said, I'm not excusing myself, but if I could have seen the land, I might have made it. It wasn't that she was too tired. It wasn't that she wasn't a good enough swimmer. She lost sight of the goal. She couldn't fix her eyes on it. And so she got discouraged. She lost heart. 2 months later, she tried again. This time, she succeeded. She fixed her eyes on the land. And she triumphed. She was the first woman to accomplish this amazing feat of skill and endurance. Folks, Jesus is the land that you're swimming to. It's love for him and allegiance to him that fuels you through the fog. He's the Lord, but is he your Lord? He's the king, but is he your king? This king came to earth as a man to show you what God is like, to show me, to show everybody, and to suffer the punishment in your place for your sins on the cross, to remove the sin barrier. And then he arose triumphantly from the grave and sits at the right hand of the Father. That was his part. That's the saving part. Your part is to entrust yourself to him and become his subject. You must remain focused on him constantly, every step of the race. Let me ask you, can you have Christianity without Jesus? Can you? Yes, you can. Lots of people do it all the time. They adopt a lifestyle that has all the outward trappings of Christianity. Going to church, getting baptized, reading scripture, serving in ministry. Jesus is on their lips, but there's no relationship with him in the heart. He's not on the throne of their life. He's not their king. Orders are not obeyed. His priorities are not prioritized. Nor is he cherished and adored. That's Christianity without Jesus. It's like the body of a beautiful person lying in a casket. Everything's there except life. Have you lost sight of Jesus? Are you running in the fog? Do you need to refresh the web page and get him back up on the screen? Do you need to rekindle the relationship? Do you need to lose some weight? Thanks for your honesty, brother. Well, you can shed it right here and right now. It doesn't take a week. You can do it right here and now, quicker than Nutrisystem or Planet Fatness could ever dream. It begins with repentance, but it doesn't end there. This is a marathon. It's not a sprint. And you can't do it alone. God gives you the strength to run the race, and so you must cry out to him. You must fix your eyes on him. You must depend on him. But you have to decide to jump out of the starting blocks. The marathon of discipleship calls for strict discipline. We're going to close our service here in just a few moments. I'm going to ask the ushers to prepare for the offering. And the band is going to come up and close us out with a song. Why don't we stand together? Let's pray. Father, thank you for entering us into the race through Jesus. Lord, help us to build endurance. Maybe there's some weight to be lost. Maybe we just need to build endurance and challenge ourselves. Lord, whatever it is, I pray that you'd help us to fix our eyes on Jesus. I pray for any persons here who have not yet entered the race, haven't trusted in Christ as Lord and Savior, pray that that person would do so today. Come forward and talk with a member of our pastoral prayer team to help with that decision. I pray, Lord, that you would help all of us. I pray that this would be a great team, this team of runners here at Stony, that we would all run the race together successfully, fixing our eyes on Jesus. Lord, as we give you our tithes and offerings, please bless this offering. May it be from the heart as an act of worship. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.